Presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand are pleasures forevermore, Lord. And thank you, Father, that we can be in a place, Lord, of heavenly places with you tonight, Lord. And we're so hungry, Lord, and we love you so much, Lord. And we hunger and thirst and love the truth, Lord, of which you are. Come fill us tonight, Lord. We need you, Father, in this dark age more than ever, Lord. More than ever before, I need you, Lord. Please, Father. Lord, you said they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Lord, fill us tonight, Lord, we pray. We bless and praise your name now. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. While you're standing, if you have your Bibles, God bless each one of you. Amen. Thank you for the song service. Thank you, musicians. Thank you for the worship and for assembling ourselves together. Amen. I love each one of you so much. Let's turn to Hebrews. Can we just turn to John chapter 13 first? Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the word. Amen. Don't we love him this evening? Amen. Amen. And let's just go down to verse 34 and 35. And let's back up to 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And let's just read Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Amen. Could we just all read it out loud together? A very simple verse. 13 and verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. And may the Lord add his blessings on the reading of the word. You may be seated. That just keeps going over and over in my mind. Let brotherly love continue. And I was thinking about how many times we've heard, you know, it's important that, you know, when Brother Don was in Rwanda, when he heard, watch that spirit of hate. And so the antidote, right, is let brotherly love continue. And of course, we know continue is to sojourn, to keep going forward, to tarry, to remain, and just to continue on, to have uninterruptedness in that continuation. And it's just amazing as we have experience in life how, you know, things can creep in, and you can be talking to someone else and all of a sudden something tries to come in, right? You know, and like we've heard in conversations, and it's so of the conversation of the world, and especially those that we're in contact, connecting with those people, they don't have that brotherly love, that Philadelphia that we have, and that agape love that we have, that it could continue. So they, of course, retreat back into that spirit of hate, and it's a spirit. There is a quote Brother Bram talks about was very interesting. I never heard this before. He had said, talked about taking on a spirit of criticism himself. And I just hope I can find it. because I wasn't even in my notes today, but he was just talking about how that he's saying, you know, I was asking, oh, here we go. And he says, I want to ask the church one more thing before we get someplace to study in the scriptures, that is, that you'll pray for me. I've developed a critical spirit, and it haunts at me. I told my wife yesterday the first time, see, something's happened now, and I was sitting in the yard, and I told her, and she reminded me, and I told her about it. I said, honey, I've got to a place till I've become critical of people. My, I don't want to be. Whose job is it? It's not mine. And God is the one to criticize, not me. And he talks about, you know, the reason why, how it was a lady that had gone before him to India, and how that she had really made merchandise of the people there and in the name of God. And, you know, her, they had, you know, worked hard, you know, like a woman out in the street, you know, to make bricks, and would get 1 rupee. And she would say, bring me your rupees for in the name of God, and all this. And it got so bad, such a bad testimony for the Lord, that she ended up had to get rescued out of India, because it was so, they were going to just, you know, basically, you know, throw her out, you know, or kill her or something, because she had marred the name of God so much for merchandise and for money. And it was, he explains that if you read the sermon, it's from The Word Became Flesh, the India trip report, and how that he had just developed that something that's horrible had gotten, let the devil come in and allow him to have a critical spirit. And praise God for the Lord in him to recognize that, to have a critical spirit. And I think, oh my, that we could have a critical spirit of each other, because something that was not right, and yet he says it haunts me, and he says, I pray for me. And he's not even saying that he's delivered from it, but he says, I've developed a critical spirit and it haunts me. So, and it could be for a righteous reason, and again, it's that spirit that's trying to come in to divide. And there was a really neat thing that Sister Evie shared with us. It's a man that goes, and I hope I'm not stealing your thunder, Sister Evie, from sharing this, because it's a wonderful, wonderful documentary of a man that, with his family, little children and everything, goes into, why can't I just remember the name of the place? Myanmar. And where it's the longest civil war ever that's happened. And they would come in, and the country itself is under so much unrest that they would come as a force of good in there, and teach the people how to be medics and how to help other people that have just had their town burned down. So they weren't coming in to against, in hatred again, and vengeance against these Myanmar armies, but they were coming in love to help and support the people. But there would be times where the people that they had trained, they would all of a sudden go in, and there was one time where, you know, two women were beaten to death. And they show him on video, because the whole thing is to get the news out to everybody, like, well, this is going on in Myanmar, because it's covered up. But this, again, just like Brother Bam saying, I had a critical spirit and it haunts me because of something done wrong, how that he was there. He says, they chose, those men, they chose to do this knowing that it was wrong. They cannot live. I will not let them live. And he was a Marine Ranger, an Army Ranger, in the armed forces before. And he says, they cannot live. I will not let them live. And he tells this to everybody that is with him, you know, and saying, they've done this to these women. And the Lord dealt with him on it. And he said, no, Lord, he said, first he says, I can't forgive them. Lord, I cannot forgive them for what they've done. Lord, I need something from you to forgive them. I cannot forgive them for this evil they've done. And then later on, there was a family that they'd rescued, in another place, and they had just rescued them, and they sent them on their way, and a roadside bomb blew up the van. And it was a little child and all these things, and they're just crying and weeping, and one of them, the children passed away, the father dying on the road, and he said, let's kill them all. I can't, like, I am so angry. He says, let's kill them all. And he was just, he's like, these are children. These are babies. Let's kill them. And he said that night he just was praying and he's like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I said, this is wrong. And this is right to, and he realized the Lord had spoke to him and, how he said, this isn't just to protect. Now this is vengeance. Or he said, basically he said, he opened up the Bible. He says, Lord, I don't know what to do. And he opened the Bible right up to vengeance is mine. I will repay. And he said, oh my goodness. What I thought was, how did he say it? What I thought was me just trying to do the righteous thing was actually the spirit of vengeance. And he said, Lord, forgive me. Take that away from me. And he said, instantly he had peace. And he said, I know that if I would have given into that, it would have bent me and it would have changed me for the rest of my life if I would have done that. And here is someone, you know, that, you know, just see a family and then they get blown to pieces and the Lord dealing with them and seeing that's, oh, vengeance is mine. Just like he said in this quote, you know, God is the one to criticize, not me. It's not my job. You know, and for us tonight, you know, where Satan, you know, doesn't, you know, let brotherly love continue again, that theme of don't make any room for the devil. And it could be like, oh, I'll help you. Oh, I know exactly what to do in this situation. I'll represent you. And it's like, oh, yes, that's what I need to take care of this. And I think about this, you know, just like we see in Minneapolis, you know, with the situation with seeing a man getting choked by the forces that are there to protect, you would see. And to think that they let hatred and body become embodied in them because of something that was done wrong. So they saw that was something that was done wrong and they acted upon it wrongly. And so how do we let brotherly love continue when we see things like this going on, or even something, you know, and people we know that are doing something wrong? How do we deal with that, and how do we still have brotherly love continue? Back to the scriptures, John chapter 15. You don't have to go there. I'll just read it just because I know it's communion tonight, so I'll just try to go as fast as possible. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in me in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Now, what a paradigm switch from that man who he just to avenge those, he almost lost his joy, the joy of the Lord. And that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. It's all we need to do is obedience, right? Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Praise God, we're a chosen people, saints of God, tonight. And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. He said it twice in that passage. And you see this, why do we do it? We do it because he first loved us. It's that simple. We could say, well, because we got the Holy Ghost. And that's wonderful and that's true, but we have the Holy Ghost because we were captured by his love first and foremost. We do it because we love him. We want more of him. We want his spirit because he first loved us. From the beginning it wasn't so. Brother Bram says, and if your church tradition has taught you contrary, let's go back to the beginning where we left it. And let's produce it here tonight. Our members of the church at the beginning who had brotherly love one for another, lay down their lives for one another. Men and women who love one another with such divine love till they go to the penitentiary or to the gallows for each other. That's the original church. Charles Spurgeon has a sermon called Christ's New Commandment. And I'm just going to read for a couple minutes here. But why is it a new commandment? Is it not included in the Ten? You know how the Lord had approved the lawyer's summary of the Ten Commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. How is this new commandment then that you love one another? It is new first as to the extent of the love. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves, but we are to love our fellow Christians as Christ loved us. And that is far more than we love ourselves. My, that's just wonderful. Christ loved us better than he loved himself, for he loved us so much that he gave himself for us. Mm-hmm. I'll read that last part one more time. Christ loved us better than he loved himself, for he loved us so much that he gave himself for us. So that now no one of us is to say, I am to love my friend, my brother, my fellow creatures as I love myself. But to interpret Christ's command thus, I am to love my fellow Christians even as Jesus Christ, who died for me, has loved me. This is a nobler kind of love altogether to the love which we are to manifest to our neighbors. This is the love of benevolence, but this is a love of affinity and close relationship, and involves a higher degree of self-sacrifice than it was enjoined by the law of Moses. So we see this. It's a new law that binds us to each other because of him laying down his life and caring more about us than his own life. As we read, you know, no man had the greater love than he lay his down, life down for his friend. Amen. Let's just dive a little bit into Hebrews and chapter 13. And you can just follow along. I'm just going to jump right in and kind of go all over 13 and then but it's interesting because you look at all of Hebrews, it's a letter of exhortation. And what my desire for all of us tonight is to be exhorted. And you think about exhortation is, I always like to try to learn again what things are for the first time. And it's to encourage and to strengthen by consolation, by comfort, to admonish, to encourage, to strengthen, to instruct, to teach. Webster says it's to incite by argument or advice, to urge strongly. So Paul is urging the church strongly, and it's to strengthen them. It's to encourage them. It's not just to, you know, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, and keep doing it. But it's also to move to action, to stir up, to spur, to urge on. Just like he said, let brotherly love continue. Something to urge us on, because Brother Branham it says so many quotes. When you type in brotherly love, it's easy to fall out of brotherly love. You know, it's not something that we like to do naturally. I like to be alone naturally. You know, if I could just go and play the piano for 3 or 4 hours, you know, I would be just happy as a clam. But I'm missing something at the end of the day if that's all I do. Even if it's just praise to the Lord. And just to get to the point of really what Paul is trying to say in all this in 13 and 14 and in the whole letter of Hebrews, we'll just take to the very end. And verse 20, Hebrews 13, verse 20 through 22. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, like Brother Alfred said, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, one, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Two, working in you, praise God, it's not us, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And three, can we just all say that together? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. So we see that it's him working in us, praise God. It's him loving through us. We cannot let love, brotherly love continue unless we let the Lord's love continue in us. And now this is from Identify with Christ. Now if people of this day, now this is taking Christ as our example and the answer for today. And just think about the scope of what we're talking about in the unrest of the world. Now if people of this day with that great desire and great ambition to be like somebody, for example, if they took Christ as their example, then we could fire every police there was in the nation. Everybody would be meek and humble. Everybody would be kind and have brotherly love one for another. There would never be a divorce case ever pled in our country. There would never be any sickness. We could even dismiss hospitals if everybody tried to make Christ Jesus their example. We wouldn't have need for nothing else. My goodness, if we could just put that on a billboard in every billboard in the nation, right there, is that's just taking Christ as our example. And you know, a Baptist would say, or even the man that wrote Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis, he'd say, you know, we are imitators of Christ, but we don't want imitation vanilla extract. We want the real extract. And so we want the extract. We want the essence of who God is by His Holy Spirit. That's why we have to have the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, we're just using Christ as our example only, and it's just monkey see, monkey do, versus saying, no, what He's speaking to me, what I must do. This is what I must do inside of me. I must love. And that's what will take you when your car is over there in the parking lot, you know, and you're leaving work with someone else, and you're walking with them, and they're parked way over there, and you walk all the way to their car over there just to tell them about the love of Jesus on a cold winter's night. You know, because you're like, they need to hear, and I can feel the Lord saying, I want to happen out of you, Stephen, or out of you, Josh, or Rachel, each one of us. I want to show them your love. And people need it so much. I think we forget, because it's like we don't smoke, right? None of us smoke here smokes, right? We don't realize how much people need to not smoke, right? Because they smoke all the time, and they have the fingernails that are brown on their teeth, and their life is just horrible because, in some ways, well, to us especially, because of smoking. But you think about someone that doesn't even know what's beyond this. I was talking to a gal last night, walking out of work, and she was saying, boy, the world is just crazy. And I was like, yeah, it really is. And she's like, I really think there's something after this. I think there's something after this. And I said, I believe so too. And I said, you know, it says in the Bible, nations shall rise against nations, wars, rumors of wars, all this stuff. But it says, when that happens, look up, your redemption is coming. You know, it's coming close. She's like, yeah, that's good. And we just started talking and back and forth. And she's like, you know, I don't even know what I believe. And we just started talking more. And you could just tell at the end of the conversation, just her eyes were so enlightened, and she had hope and joy in her eyes. And it wasn't just a like encouraging life. Here you go. You know, like, oh, that's a great day. No, it was something real. It was giving her the words of life, as Peter said, where would we go for those, the words of life? Give the words of life to people. Don't just give them encouragement. Give them the words of life. And so, and what's wonderful is you never know when to expect it. And as I've been reading through chapter 13, and you just read it through all of Hebrews, it's all about his choosing, his calling, and to rest in him doing it in us. And then to realize that it's not just by faith, but it's also a call to action. It's a call to obedience. You look at, you know, I think so many times we feel like, okay, we got traction. We're going somewhere in the Lord. This is good. You know, we're going, you know, we're almost there. Heaven's waiting. You know, we're going to take the rapture. We're doing good, right? And then he calls us to something else. You know, just like, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. But I think we just need to be challenged tonight. And I just pray that the Lord just exhorts all of us to just continue. Just continue. What's the next thing of love? Continuing. Brotherly love continuing. So that's the overview, just so that everybody knows where we're going. If we look, let's just go to Hebrews and chapter 13. You're already there. I'm not there. And so on through there, if you just look through it, you know, and I know we wanted to really, really dig in, but talking about, you know, let your conversation be without covetousness and all these things, and it's sanctification. We know that Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter, and then but I feel like Hebrews 12 and 13 are sanctification. Expect to be sanctified. Expect to be tried. And it's not grievous. It's wonderful. Because there's a work for Jesus Christ to do through you by His Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let me just make sure I'm catching up here. Let's go to actually back to chapter 12, and then let's go to verse 12. And actually, let's go back to verse 11. I'm sorry. Now chastening for the present seemeth to be no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it, can we say that it yieldeth? It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And that's exercised. So it's the it yieldeth, that chastening yieldeth the fruit of righteousness. And you think, well, that's just poetic, Stephen. Let's just get on with the sermon. But the peaceable, it yieldeth something. So all that chastening, like, you know, let's get our money's worth here, you know, because we're going to get chastened anyway. So we, knowing the end, that's this peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know, it's not this critical and, oh, I'm so glad I got through those trials because now I've attained greater enlightenment and now I know everything was wrong with everybody else. Because I'm sure you've all stumbled across someone, and it usually starts with me, you know, where it's like, as soon as He shows me more, all of a sudden, I'm now more aware of everything that sometimes that we all do wrong. You know, because Satan's right there to say, it's everybody else, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, versus, no, search me, oh God. What do you, you know, and then we have His heart. I think that so many times, like Andrew Murray says, is like, when we come to Christ, we have a renewed will of our own, rather than His will. You know, and you know, I must needs go see Jesse. You know, what does he want? It seems grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Oh, wonderful. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. What? We just got through chastening and now we're giving out? We're helping the infirmed. We're helping the handicapped. We're helping those spiritually that are weak. And make straight paths for your feet. What? Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now, if I understand this right, and you correct me if I'm wrong, it's if we is that when we're walking through this life, I could be totally off, but how that we're to lift other people up. And remember how John 17, Jesus said, "I sanctify myself for my sake." No, for your sakes. And you know, Satan will come along, oh, it's not a salvation issue, just do this or that, whatever. And he's taking us off on other pathways. And it's like, wow, that's for me so much, because the paths that we walk, it's called a walk, our daily walk. That's the paths that we go on every day, spiritually and naturally. And how it says, make sure the pathways of your walk in your day are so upright that the crippled spiritually and naturally are actually healed and delivered rather than staying in the same condition or depart from you worse. Okay, I can just say that again. Just because how many times we have interactions, and I went away, Peter, and I said, I did not have the love of the Lord for them. They had a need, and I walked away, and they still had the need. Shame on me. And I can see it, and they wanted it. They wanted their need met. And I because of the pathways I'd taken that day, I didn't have it to give. I couldn't have walked up to the lame man and said, silver and gold have I none, but time with myself have I to give you. Well, I did that, but I didn't drink from the fountain, so I have nothing for you. But to think that if we can walk on the pathways of our day so upright and so in tune with the Lord that the crippled spiritually and naturally are actually healed and delivered rather than staying in the same condition or depart from us worse. And I think we have so many fleeting moments in this life, and time is getting on already. And for us to just every day say, Lord, I want to be sanctified. Do whatever it takes because I want others to be healed by you. I want people to not be suffering when I leave conversations with them. So many times, it's just like, you know, Brother Branham talks about Billy Graham, how he met that man, the Muslim man. And he says, you know, you say your God is alive, and ours is still in the tomb. Okay, prove it. Show me he's alive. And he says, I just kicked my foot in the sand. And he says, I wish I could have been there. I would have showed him that he's alive. And for us to say the same, can we say he's alive? And they say, show me. Say, well, I read my Bible today. Well, show me he's alive. And again, it's this, we could say, well, what does this have to do with brotherly love? Because we love others. We love, it's not only love for the brethren, but the ones that are among many brethren that are not even been told yet. This is just giving me a kick in the rear so bad from All the Days of Our Life in 59. This is a sick world, isn't it? But you know what's the sickest body on earth? I say this with reverence, not to be sacrilegious. God, forgive me if I say this wrong. The body of Jesus Christ, it needs healing. And it can only be healed by brotherly love. And that's the sickest body I know of, all broke to pieces and torn up. God, I pray for the healing of that body. And you're the members of that body. So God, heal you physically and spiritually and make you what you should be. And this is so hard and so provoking to me, but I know that for all of us, it's a process, right? You know, and our becoming. We are becoming, each one of you, by faith. I'm so excited to see what God is doing in you and to hear the testimonies when I sit at your table and when outside of church and we get these interactions with people. And it wasn't Peter, it wasn't Sister Karen, it wasn't Charity, it wasn't Alfred. Each one of us, Josh, Christian, each one of us, it's the Lord working through us. And we just keep being faithful and every day. And Satan says, well, he didn't do anything for you today, so what's the point? And then 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, oh, that the Lord moved. He used me. And I saw them seeing Jesus when I talked to them. And it's us being faithful to him. It's a time of social distancing. And so just to tell you, it's easy for me to get comfortable being alone, like I said. But let's not get comfortable alone in our houses in this time. I see this so much at Costco because I'm at membership. And you see some people, they're so comfortable not being around people. Not loving each other. Not giving each other grace. Yes, connecting. And it's interesting. It was just on my heart so much. And then Brother Don got up this weekend before last. And he was saying, or no, last weekend. Was saying, I just keep hearing together, together. And you know, there's so many scriptures, you know, look, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell. Social distancing. No, together, together. We need to be together. And sometimes it's uncomfortable to be together, right? You know, and we all hear it, and when we hear it singing, we're together again. And the devil comes in and is like, yeah, we're together again, right? But then we're like, we're together again. Praise God. I can look at my brothers and sisters. They're not going to laugh at me if I put my hands up. They're not going to ridicule me if I bow my head and pray. We're family of God. Amen. How good it and pleasant it is. You think about the word good, it's for the purpose it was made for. It's to... for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's what our purpose is. When we're in heaven, you never hear any parts about, and we all, each one had our own turn in front of the throne by ourselves. No, it's, and with one voice, we'll be so in unity, we'll be able to say with one voice, we're like, yeah, we're all saying it together because we're all in unity, we're all in togetherness. How many, if we could hear a dissertation on some observer's view on the upper room experience and transformation to that unity. If we could, day one might have been, you know, hey, you're in my spot. I was praying over there. Can you go over here? You know, all my stuff is over here, you know, and all this stuff. And maybe there's a little bit of, you know, okay, everybody, we just need to be quiet and let's remember what we're here for, you know? And where is John? You know, where is so-and-so? Oh, they just needed to go out for, nope. He said, we have to wait and tarry here. We have to be waiting here together, you know, but they were able to do it, you know, for that 10 days, was it? In the upper room, let brotherly love continue. And hear ye him. The Bible says, you're the salt of the earth. The salt's a savior if it contacts. But if it's lost its strength, no matter how much it contacts, that's where the church is. That's what the matter. They've lost their brotherly love. They've lost the feeling for one another. The world, the peoples are looking for something that's real. And I've had this before. I don't know if you've ever had this before, where you've invited someone to church. And this is, you know, this is a long time ago where someone, and they were looking for something. You could tell they were looking for, you know, something to happen. And of course, that's, they could be critical, right? But they could also be thirsting for something of the Lord. Chapter 12 and verse 14. We'll never, probably won't get to 13, chapter 13. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men as a part of brotherly love. That word follow is so interesting because it's dioko and it means run swiftly after. So this peace, like, you know, if me and Brother David were just left and not, something felt a little funny. It was saying, I need to, even if Brother David is running away with a bad attitude, I mean, I need to run toward him. Vice versa, he would run towards me. Brother, I couldn't reach you on your phone. I just came over here. I feel like we're not at peace with each other. It's a run swiftly. It says, in order to catch a person or thing, to run after, without the idea of hostility, to run after, follow after, to seek after eagerly. How many has had something wrong with another brother and you sought after him and it felt really eager to seek after him? Or did it feel kind of, oh man, I got to talk to that brother. This is not going to be, oh boy. Right? Well, that's our carnal saying that, right? Because the Lord's like, they're going to be in heaven for eternity. We're going to spend 1,000 years with each other, like Brother Branham said, you know, just because we want to be with each other. And to think we're having these trivial things, you know, he took my toy and, you know, I'm going to have to go and figure out how to solve this. But to think that it's, we're going to seek after them eagerly because we want to be at peace with all men, right? It's this ready eagerness, like the Spirit is willing, ready eagerness. Oh, I'm so eager. I love that story of the terror of Tenerife about that man named Norman who had the planes collide and everybody was burning alive around him and he was praising the Lord and Lord saved him. He was the only one that was saved out the plane. Where am I going with this? He said I was pre-programmed in the worst condition to praise the Lord. He says, I remember back when me and my mother were sitting in the room together and we're praying, may the angels of the Lord go with you and the Lord be around you. And the reaction was already decided. He was already ready and eager to praise the Lord no matter what calamity came to him. And how that before we get in the throes of uncomfortability with a brother or sister, Lord, give us that love and through his Spirit to be ready and eager. We've already decided we're going to be at peace with them. You know, we were decided that we were going to love them anyways. So then it doesn't, if someone says, you know, well, Peter, Brother Stephen, he just, you know, he did that. And we're like, oh, I already decided to be with peace with him. So why don't we just get him on the phone right now? Let's talk about it with him. Oh, what would that do to that brother that was saying, oh, you know, Stephen, oh, well, you know, we should just probably pray for him right now. Let's just not talk to him. Let's just, you know, it'll all work out. Just, you know, let's just, right, because that's where Satan, like, make no room for the devil, right? I hope you know where I'm going with all this. Again, sanctify yourselves for others' sake. From what? Bad attitudes, isms, and schisms, and like Brother Bam said, little imps, to grieve the very Holy Spirit away. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And can we read that last part of verse 15? And thereby many be defiled. Oh man, again, that bitterness can defile others. Why? Because then it's all of a sudden, you know, Pete, Josh is, you know, doing this thing, and all of a sudden I'm being full of bitterness. And it's that spirit coming through me to defile Peter. Just by, oh, you know, rather than pursuing after Josh to be at peace with them. And, you know, so again, it's these things to not let that root, that little root come in. The little foxes that spoil the vine. Oh my. Well, look at what he does for us in the condition that we're in. What would he do if we were in one heart and one accord? This is from a total deliverance. The only way we can do that is unify our hearts together in brotherly love. Obey the officers of the church and the pastor, and the pastor obey God. That God works through the pastor, through the board, down into the church, and all together are one unit to the kingdom of God. Then God will hear when we have a unified group. Let nothing bother you. Don't be dismayed by anything. This is from the Eagle Service to Upper Nest. Then God, all men who know you're my disciples, when you have got love for one for another, the world's so thirsty for that friend, and God is love, and till we can get brotherly love, we'll never get very far with God. We need a revival of love amongst the children of God. I say, Lord, revive me, because I don't have it that much. I have Minnesota love, right? But Lord, give me his love that I say, I have to be at peace with all men. I have to be, not because I can't sleep at night, right? But because I need to love others. I need to, you know, to show the love of God. That's how everybody knows that we're his disciples. Amen. As it is true, this is Charles Spurgeon again from the same sermon. As it is true that if we are in the world will love its own. So it is true that if we are in the Spirit will love his own. The whole redeemed family of Christ is firmly bound together, bound of God ourselves. We keep looking out to see others who have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And when we do see them, we cannot help loving them. That is a bond of union between us at once. I think that's wonderful. I know that each one of you, you know, God in us, right? You'll meet someone on a trip, and you just, all of a sudden you just connect, and you're like, that's the love of the Lord. You recognize it instantly, and you just have that love for them. You just, oh! And I know that we all have different personalities. You say, oh, well, it's just Stephen. He loves connecting with people. But each one of us, with the love of the Lord, the love of the Lord loves connecting with people, right? That was from What's the Holy Ghost Given For? And that's what I was given for. This is from the sermon, The Palmer Worm, Locust, and the Canker Worm. Notice, oh, contending for the faith, that was earnestly contending, not just contending, but earnestly contending between life and death. We'll jump on another one. You can stay on that a long time. He says, the next thing that we'd like to say for is brotherly love has been eaten away from the vine. Brotherly love. Jesus said, this will all men know that you're my disciples when you have love one for another. Well, now, let's just take an example. If a man don't believe the same as I do, I'll go right into his congregation and preach with him. Just preach what he believes and go right ahead and let it go because I love him. By their fruits, you'll know them. Notice it's an action. It's not this an isolation. Well, you know, he can believe what he believes. I can believe what I believe. That's fine. We'll both be in heaven. He goes right to his church and preaches only what he believes. Just preach what he believes and go right ahead and let it go because I love him. By their fruits you know them. If they don't believe it and they haven't got brotherly love, they'll drop out, disagree, fall away. I'll have nothing to do with it. He says, well, you know, if they have something wrong with him, why don't you come and talk to me about it? You don't know what I believe, see? So again, it's like this, again, be at peace with all men. What difference does it make anyhow what I believe? It's who I believe, Jesus Christ. I've never left a meeting yet with bad taste, as I know of. But you see, brotherly love has been all discarded. And Paul's seen it. 1 Corinthians 13, he said, let brotherly love continue. But brotherly love has been taken away. Now watch every time. So we see this again. If you looking just as we close in, I know we're going to change the order of service for communion. So is that, you know, you look at Jesus in the garden and you see him talking to the Father. And this is the mission of him on earth. This is the mission for eternity. This is the whole mission statement and how he's saying, I pray that they would be one with each other as you and I are one and we are one together. And he just keeps going it over one. The one, the love. And he is praying for you and I. And that's what he was praying for us. If the angel of the Lord came to Brother Branham and gave him his commission and he says, if you have these things, nothing will stand in the way of your prayer. I believe it's not just by our will and our decision just alone, but because nothing is going to stand in the way of the Lord's prayer for his children, that we may be one as he is one with the Father, with each other, and with him. We could scream and shout and do whatever we want to. It'll never influence man until they see the life of Christ being projected in you. Someone who's tender and merciful and forgiving and ready to turn the other side of the cheek or give a second coat or go the second mile. Christianity in action, not just taught from the pulpit, but acted among the members, among the pastors. That's when you see Christ living in the church. Decisions made. Jesus, in closing, last thing, Jesus was brought himself to a decision. And before going to Calvary, the Father brought his own son into conference in Gethsemane, while angels taken their positions to see what the decisions would be. And I think maybe the angels tonight are taking their positions to see what our decision will be. Oh, Lord, if you will, let this cup pass from me. Just to be vulnerable, before serving this sermon tonight, I was just feeling this just on my heart, and I just felt like the Lord was saying to me, Stephen, you have an hour. You could just go upstairs and start talking to people about my love right now. And I didn't make the decision. And it just to be vulnerable is that I go right back to my knees and say, Lord, I need more of your love. There's too much Stephen that says, oh, that's uncomfortable. That's really uncomfortable. I do not want to do that. Even though it would be amazing to have Brother Stephen say, I just went up and knocked on every door upstairs to show you the example of this sermon. And yet to show that the process is still going on in me. That saying, Lord, I'm going to be honest and say, I need more of you in order to go do that. Lord, give me that because I want to go do that. And I want to be obedient to you. Amen. Let's just bow our heads tonight, and then I know we'll change the order of service. Let Brother Don come up. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're coming to a decision, Lord. I know all of us have that want to say yes to you, Lord, to let brotherly love continue, Lord, to not let anything come between us, Lord. I'm sure there's someone, Lord, that I've offended in my life, Lord, that I've done something wrong, Lord, and please forgive me, oh God. Lord, I'm sure everybody here has seen way too much of Stephen and not enough of the Lord. And Lord, I ask, Father, that they would forgive me, Lord, and that I could be at peace with all men, Lord, and that we could love each other dearly, Lord, and wouldn't be just love each other in the Lord, this kind of quasi-love, Lord, but it would be a full love that's together and that would be willing to lay down our time, our life, our uncomfortability to be with each other, Lord. Our bitterness, our misgivings, our dislikes, our lack of personal interests, Lord. And as we come before you, Lord, we just want to say yes to you, Lord. You've given us the power to will and to do of your good pleasure, Lord. And so with that power and the prayers that you've prayed for us, Lord, we ask, Father, that if we don't have your Holy Spirit, that you would give us your Holy Spirit, Lord, on the inside, Lord, so we don't love with hypocrisy, but we love with your love, Lord, coming through us, Father. We just want to make a commitment tonight, Lord, to you, Lord, that just to commit, Lord, I want to have a brotherly love revival in my life. Lord, revive it, Lord. Lord, that I would not be the reason, Lord, that this church would not thrive in Christ, but that that I would be out of the way, Lord, so you could be glorified through me, Lord. So that, Lord, if there's trouble in the church, Lord, I'm the first one, Lord, to be on my knees. If there's hearsay and imps and hearsay of disunity, that I'd be the first one to apologize, or the first one to let you be the balm of Gilead, Lord, to heal, Lord, and meet each need. Please, Father, I know each one here tonight loves you so much, Lord, and doesn't know how to love each other sometimes. I know I don't know how to love each one here tonight, Lord, but you do, Lord. So please, Father, meet the needs of your people, Lord, and call us to action tonight, Lord, and may we not just take it, Lord, in stride and just go away, Father. No different, Father, but may you come through us with your love, Lord. That's the most powerful force, Lord, on earth, Lord, that can overcome all, Lord. Please, Lord, let your love not just be over us, Lord, but be through us, Lord, to others, Lord. To bring that last one in so we can all go home, Lord, be with you, Lord, forever. We thank you now, Lord. We just commit this service and this communion into your hands now. This fellowship, Lord, this time, Lord, to linger with each other, even though time is fleeting, Lord. We just want to love each other and wait upon you and each other, Lord. We thank you, Father, now, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I want to live as Brother Don would come. Amen. I want to live the way that He wants me to live. I want to live to
sermon to get us ready for partaking of the elements tonight. We're so thankful. Thank you, Brother Stephen.